0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As a busy week in Scottish football continues, the dust hasn't yet settled on Sunday, with debate raging on about where this leaves the title race, refereeing decisions and various other talking points. Dundee v Rangers, though, will face a pitch inspection tomorrow morning, and Scotland could be allowed a squad of 26 at the Euros. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Gordon Dalziel and Jim Duffy. You know the drill on a Tuesday night, Gordon Dalziel. Yeah. You get the leftover points from the weekend, but I'm pretty sure that means quite a lot tonight, if that weekend was anything to go by.
I don't think the weekend will finish tonight. I think we'll still be rumbling on about this in the next few days, maybe even into next week. But it was an exciting weekend, I've got to say. I really enjoyed it. Starting off with Saturday, some exciting football, some great comebacks. Motherwell, congratulations to St Mirren, obviously getting a top six place. Kilmarnock's in great form. Terrific result for St Johnston as well. And then it was over to the big two on Sunday, and they certainly didn't disappoint. A six goal thriller, everything to talk about. I really enjoyed my weekend of football.
Yeah, it was a great game of football. But you know, you're saying, Gordon, all the talking points are still going to rage on. Everyone's got their views on the game. As a spectacle, it was outstanding. As I spoke just after the game at the weekend, it was great to be there. It was a fantastic, performance from both teams in terms of being on the front foot of all the things that can happen in games, from going behind to getting in front to showing real character. Both teams showed that in abundance, and quality as well. Yeah, there was errors, of course, and mistakes, and then you've got the talking points from the officials. So everything you want in football, if you're not a fan of maybe Rangers and Celtic, and if you're maybe not a coach, because obviously from a coaching perspective there was a few issues, but just from a purely entertainment point of view, top class.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need. So let's hear from you. If you've still got Sunday in your mind, we are here for you. The phone lines were red hot last night, and if you couldn't get through to make your point, let's do it tonight maybe. And maybe I'm just, maybe call this wishful thinking, maybe we did a lot of refereeing stuff last night, so tonight you want to move on to the tactics and the good performers and the bad performers and where this leaves the title race. Or maybe I'm absolutely dreaming and you still want to go on about the decisions, which is fine. You decide. I say that all the time. The great thing about Scottish football, there'll be a new controversy just around the corner, and that seems to be the case, because tomorrow night should be Rangers game in hand. It should be Rangers' chance to go top of the table, but yet again it's raining a lot in Dundee. The pitch is covered, we don't quite know if it's going to go ahead. A pitch inspection tomorrow morning, so I think that might be on the minds of quite a lot of you as well. Whatever it is, 0141 951 1025, that's developing into quite a story, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit concerning, Gordon, because you want to get to Saturday, get all the games out of the way, and then obviously look at the split fixtures and see who will be in the top six, because Dundee still have a great opportunity of achieving that. But the weather and the state of Dens Park, we all witnessed it Saturday. I was getting, you know, texts from Motherwell's chief exec, Brian Caldwell, who was not a happy chappy, and I don't think anybody involved at Motherwell were. Certainly were happy at 5 o'clock with the result and the comeback. But we watched the game, afwards on TV, and the pitch was in a real state, and obviously a downpour today, forecasted rain tomorrow. It's got to be a very interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, I think the game, I'd be surprised if the game's off, so I think the game will be on, but then, you know, both teams will then have to adapt to the conditions. As you mentioned, the game went ahead at the weekend. It seemed to play okay. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it was a 5 goals. Plenty of entertainment and a fantastic overall performance from Motherwell coming back from the 2-goal deficit. But if the game is on, then it's going to cut up. There's no question about that. The pitch is going to have been damaged at the weekend. So in terms of, you know, maybe how both teams like to play, and I say both teams because we have to be fair to Dundee have players like Leo Cameron, like, Luke McEwen, Scott Tiffany, these kind of guys. You know, they want a decent surface. They don't want it to be a plough field. And Rangers, as we know, want to try and keep the ball on the floor as well. So for both teams, they want a decent surface, but I think that's highly unlikely. So if the game goes ahead, Philip Clement will, you know, have to ask his team to adapt and maybe play a little bit more percentage football.
If you want to hear Jim Duffy and Gordon Dalziel try to be weather experts or pitch experts all night, that's fine, but I would rather you got involved in the discussion. So 01419511025, we can talk about the weather. Honestly, it's usually the lowest form of conversation, but it's relevant this time. We can talk about the pitch, we can talk about the so-called contingency plans, if there are any. I think that's clearly what's frustrating people. Does it go ahead? Does it not? What would happen in the event of a postponement? We can go round the houses there. And of course, it's only Tuesday. Sunday's going to take a bit of getting over. So get your thoughts in from that one as well. Let's kick things off with John, who's on the line. What have you got for the guys tonight, John?
I think if the game doesn't go ahead at Dundee, they'd be deducted the point. It's getting beyond a joke now. This would be the sixth time now a game has been called off at Dundee. After the last time, I thought Dundee would have tried to do something, but they've obviously no learnt. So I think we need to try and do something, especially after the Old Firm. More eyes are going to be watching this game than ever, and we're having this problem yet again.
Yeah. How tough is that stuff to enforce, John? I get that everybody's sort of angry or frustrated or whatever, you know, but you know, Motherwell faced it at the weekend. The game just about went ahead. What without that rule being in place, can we suddenly just, you know, deduct points now? You know, rather than, what is it, once you get to this number of call-offs, you just deduct points. It's got a kind of making it up as you go along feel about it, doesn't it?
But if you got to go the other side, how far do we let it go?
Yep, that's fair question.
How come if this game gets called off, we get put after another week, and then it gets called off and put after another week, and then how far do we go? We waiting to play this game until 2 years' time?
I know it feels like the rain will never stop, but hopefully not that long.
Listen, I don't agree with John in terms of, you know, taking points off with Dundee or any other team for that matter. The game's called off. There are games called off all the time for weather. You know, it can be a number of things at different times of the season. Normally, before April, we have to say that. It's normally not at this juncture of the season. But it can be. So if it's January, February, you can't then say, well, if you had a couple of games called off, we'll take points off you. They could be freakish weather.
Yeah, I think John's point was that this is more than a couple now, isn't
it? Yeah, I understand that. But what I'm saying is you can't then just decide that because it's at this stage now, we'll now throw in a rule that it takes points. If at the start of the season, it's very difficult to implement, Gordon. How would you word it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because there are mitigating circumstances. Listen, Dundee's pitch has been a shambles all season. We're not taking any now to try to disguise that. And I'm really surprised because for many, many years, and Gordon will back me up here, Dens Park was a terrific pitch. But for whatever reason, it's been a shambles this year and they haven't resolved the problem. I do get that, but it has to be done at in the close season. That's when the SPFL have to go to Dundee and say, listen, we need you to invest in this pitch. We need it to a better standard. We're trying to sell a product here and the product has to be a lot better, but not just now. It can't be done with a few games to go.
What's not helping them, Jim, is the fact that you look across the road, 10 yards, Tannadice.
I mean, it'll be further than 10, well, for accuracy's sake.
It's a putt.
No, it's 100 yards.
It's a putt.
It's a downhill putt. So.
Okay. The pitch is probably be 100% playable. Mm-hmm. Their pitch is a complete mess. The worrying thing is, if the weather continues, I agree with you, I don't think you can just all of a sudden change, make up a rule and say, right, okay, we're going to deduct you 3 points because Rangers are coming and it's coming up to the split. I don't believe in that. But I think there will need to be something addressed after this season. Something's got to be put in place. It can't happen.
John, if you weren't to get your way and they have to find a date for this, what would you be looking for? To play it next midweek before the Cup semi-final? Would that suit you? Would you rather look for an alternative venue? What would your preference be if I had to take away your points deduction option?
I'd rather just play it on that day, because if we keep putting it off, there's no telling when this game's going to get played. As far as I've seen, they've looked into other potential venues. and then it come, then if those can be played, then it comes into another date again. So I'm just very frustrated because it seems that no matter what we do, this game's not getting played, and it's nobody else's fault but Dundee's fault.
The only thing I mean, Gordon put a point there. I thought he was having a wee joke at 10 yards. That's 100 yards down the road, Tandice. Why don't the SVFL at Dundee go to Dundee United and say, listen, if our pitch is not available tomorrow, can we play at Tandice? They don't have a game.
Exactly. So
why not play at Tandice?
You know what Dundee United's answer would be, though?
Yeah, come on. Yeah, possibly, but maybe not. I mean,
sorry, listen, your problem.
Yeah, they might, but also the fact is, if there's a healthy amount of money getting for it, you know, if you turn around and say, listen, it's 25% of the income or whatever it happens to be, the game's on TV, so the cameras don't have to shift anywhere. They're already up there. You know, the fans are going to Dundee anyway. You're going to get, you know, a healthy support there. So yeah, you take 25% of the money coming in. That would be a huge amount of money, even for Dundee United, who have probably lost a fair amount of money this year in the Championship.
Depends at what. Somebody who knows more about logistics will tell us. Well, even if my gut, and I don't mean to bum fair of the people of Dundee United, I just reckon most clubs, if you're in Dundee United shoes, would say it's your problem, basically. But like, let's say Jim's right and they're feeling charitable if they get some money back. I don't know what the logistics are. Anyway, to pick up something that John mentioned, because I know it was reported about playing it the next day, looking at alternative venues, all that sort of stuff. I was at Dundee today speaking to John Elms with a Sky Sports hat on, and he said none of that stuff's true, basically. He said there is no contingency plan for this other than play it next week. That's what he said. So I'm not doing down the story because I'm always, you never know exactly who's been selective in what they're telling you. But John Elms was pretty clear, said no, none of that stuff. We're not looking at other venues. There was the accusation at the weekend that they were, and Brian Caldwell, as you mentioned, came out and said it from a Motherwell perspective. I don't know if that surprises you or not. John Elms is basically saying it's on tomorrow or we try again next week.
I'm not surprised with that, and I think that's fair, because I don't think it would be fair in Rangers as well, because you're preparing, you're travelling. I don't know if Rangers got in the day of a game.
And they're away, they're up are again they're for the second time.
Yep, there you go. So you've got to take the opposition into consideration,
but
as
that's
well.
That's the point. They'll so then you need to do that again next week.
I know, but
for the third time.
But you can't just keep them up there tonight and then tomorrow it's get called off and say, right, we'll keep you up tonight for the game he played on Thursday and may get called off on Thursday. I think John Helms is right. I think if it's called off tomorrow night, and hopefully it's not, and hopefully it gets played, then I think that is the common sense to say, right, okay, it's next week, midweek. The big problem for Dundee then is if you're going into next midweek and we're in the same position, like weather-wise, we've got a massive problem.
Let's hear Philippe Clement's thoughts on it then. Rangers are away. I think we'll be staying in St Andrews tonight, as they tend to do, but they're either there already. Yeah, they'll be there by now. But this is what he had to say just before they left.
It's a crazy situation to go in a top league that you don't know the day before, and we're going to travel now in half an hour or in 1 hour, that we're going to travel there, we're going to stay there in a hotel, and you don't know yet if the game is on tomorrow or not. So that's a really weird situation. Yeah, of course, I want a decision today because you want to prepare games. But the clubs, both clubs and the federation, are on speaking terms about that. I think these things give a really bad image to the league, and it needs to be solved in the future that this is not possible anymore. So if we cannot play tomorrow, when are we going to play then? Is it then on Thursday? If it's on Thursday, I would like to know that today, so we can train tomorrow. If the decision is made tomorrow evening, we have one afternoon, evening, all day in a hotel near to Dundee for nothing. Lost time that you cannot work with the players. So I think it's a logical thing to make a good decision today for everybody.
Well, there won't be a decision today because the latest is a pitch inspection at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. If, like me, you're really sad and have checked the weather forecast, it's meant to be, I think, dry a bit in the morning, then rain a bit, dry up again, and then pour down before kickoff. So what impact an 11 o'clock inspection will have, I don't really know. What about Robert in Northampton? What's your take on it, Robert?
Hi, Pan, all right.
Good, you?
Well, as I said to your guy, I'll get through it, I think it's an absolute disgrace and an embarrassment for Scottish Premiership football. And certainly, if this game is cancelled, now, why have Dundee, this, what's his name?
John Nelms.
Nelms guy, turned round and he basically says, we're confident as we can be, the match will go ahead, but there's 11 o'clock inspection tomorrow morning. Now, to me, that sounds as if he's not confident either. You know what I mean? So my problem is, and what I'm angry about, is how impossible can they get this game on next week, end of season of the split is on Sunday, and it just makes a mockery. And I think if it does get postponed, which I reckon it will, in all honesty with the rain coming, that's an unadvantage to Rangers. And it's an absolute embarrassment for Scottish football. Now, probably Felix Clement will say he came out and said a crazy situation and a bad image for the league. You'll probably get punished after the league for saying things like that, but yet Dundee can get away with this will be five games. So what's your take on it, Pano? I think it's an absolute disgrace and an embarrassment.
I wouldn't worry too much. I know we do mad things. Philippe Clement's not getting in trouble for those comments, Gordon. Look, whilst there will be factors and you don't want to play too much of a blame game, it probably is a bit embarrassing, isn't it? There's no really other way of describing this
massively,
from the outside.
Massively, especially at this time of the season. The Rangers manager makes a lot of good points here about preparation. You know, at least I think you would accept it a little bit if they made a decision tonight and says, look, the game's got to go ahead, for instance, Thursday. His preparation then, he'd be training tomorrow, his organisation, he doesn't know. What I can't understand, right, this is the one I can't get, is why they're going to have a pitch inspection so early at 11 o'clock, right? Because you've just come out with the weather forecast there, Gordon, that I'll decide where I'm playing golf in that tomorrow.
No, you're not golfing tomorrow.
No, so, but at 11 o'clock, and then you could be turning around and saying, right, okay, game, and supporters are then starting to make organisation to go and travel up.
So I just checked, sorry, just comically, I've just checked in the Met Office and the
and
cross-referenced it with the BBC, who probably get it off the Met
Sean
Office,
Batty,
honestly.
I know,
it's incredible. Guess what time the rain's to start tomorrow?
I would say about 7:30.
11.
11.
So the dry bit is going to be up until they start that the pitch inspection. Look, maybe, Jim, maybe at 11 they inspect it and they call it off, and therefore it's had its desired effect, sort of.
I think, referees, I think, as far as I'm led to believe, look at the forecast. If the pitch is borderline,
yeah,
so they'll look at, they'll see the, if it's only just playable, but the forecast is heavy rain, they're likely to call the game off.
We'll see if that's the case, and if the forecast is right. I can't believe I'm doing this. Get me a green screen here, and I'll stand and point to Dundee, talk about high pressure and weather systems. But it looks like it's going to start raining at 11, and rain right up to kick off and throughout the game.
Yeah, but they might, again, I don't know what Dundee will do, but if they've got covers on the pitch, they could take the covers off, referee inspects the pitch, put the covers back on again, protect it as much as they possibly can. You know, in terms of Robert's point, as a bit embarrassing for Scottish football at, you know, this stage of the season, that a game can be called off because the pitch can't cope with a bit of rain. You know, I do agree with that. But, you know, as I said, there's nothing else we can do about it other than keep your fingers crossed, really. There isn't a set rule in place that anyone can deal with. As far as the split's concerned, that's the big issue, because the last set of fixtures is due this weekend. So if the game doesn't go on this weekend and Dundee have to play Rangers next week, then the likes of possibly Motherwell and Hibernian could be sitting there saying, right, we don't know. Yeah. And again, so they're making plans. As far as preparation for games is concerned, yeah, Philip Clement is understandably a bit frustrated by it. But I'm more frustrated by the way we treat supporters in this country. You know, constantly.
Look at the weekend. I mean, listen, this is 1 o'clock pitch inspection on Saturday.
Yeah, this has happened for decades, Gordon. You know, I mean,
That, you know, glad it went ahead,
played,
by the way, though.
Seriously, even when we played back in the day, there was games getting 1 o'clock inspections, fans travelling over the place. And they don't all live in the same area. I mean, there's fans travelling over from Ireland, etc., Northern Ireland, to come and watch Rangers, and all over the country. So we need to find a better system and a better way of dealing with it.
Thank you, Robert. What do you think out there? You got anything to add? Have you got better weather reading skills than me? What are the solutions? How would you feel, Rangers fans, about playing it next midweek? There's a lot going on here, so get your thoughts in. Or if you want to talk about Sunday, give us a call.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Duncan here, joined by Sean Batty, and who's another? I need another weather reporter. Who are the famous ones back in the day? The guy's name escapes me.
Michael Fish.
That was the one. They're here to take you through everything you need to know about rainfall in the Tayside area. If you'd rather get back to their, I was going to say, specialist subject, but I don't know if that is the key either. If you want to get back to the football from the weekend, they know marginally more about that. So 01419511025 either way, or if you've got some left field topic up your sleeve, we are here for you. Let's go Jimmy in Knightswood. How are you, Jimmy?
How you doing, Connor? Doing, guys? I'm all right.
Good, Jimmy.
What are you worried about this game tomorrow? What's your kind of feelings on it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, the topic that we've not spoken about here, Gordon, is the fans. But the expense it's costing the fans once again. You know, last week it cost us money. Supporters' buses already halfway up. Someone was stirling before the game was called off. Now again, buses have been booked for this game. And 24 hours before it, we've been told now that there's going to be a pitch inspection. Now, these bus companies don't just give you your money back. They will give you a partial refund. No many that will give you a full refund, because that's a... they're in business to make money, same as everybody else. So, but the fans are going to be out of pocket here again. You know, I'm not for this deducting points. I think what's going to be put in place is something more robust next season to meet the criteria regarding things like, obviously, undersoil heating and drainage. But this is an absolute scandal, you know, that this is happening again. You know, if this game's cancelled tomorrow, when will it be played? Or will it be pushed back to next Wednesday, where one rest time would be that 7 days before the Cup semi-final gone? But if this game's put back to then we don't get that rest time. That's unfair to Rangers once again, and this is going to be sorted. Why was our contingency plans no one? Why did they not go and ask Dundee United if they would allow the game to be tannadised? Or whatever, you know, it's just becoming silly. I watched the highlights on Saturday night, and they just, well, Motherwell got a great result, and I was pleased that Motherwell beat them, because again, and we're not going to get into the email scandal, but once again, Dundee have brought that Scottish football into disrepute, and it's an absolute shocking state of affairs, and nobody is thinking about the fans here, Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, Jim actually did make the point before the break about fans always being the last to be thought of, and it's annoying. I've always got a touch of sympathy in normal postponements, if you like, Gordon, because you want to leave it as late as you can to try and get the game on, but you don't want to be unfair on fans, and I think that balance can be quite difficult to reach. You know, what's the right time? Do you call it off tomorrow morning? And then out of nowhere, the sun appears, the pitch is fine, the game could have gone ahead, then you've got to fix your congestion later on. Do you leave it to the afternoon, call it off? It's unfair on fans. So it is bad, it's embarrassing, as you called it, but the problem is there's no perfect solution. And I think, what do you make of Jimmy's take then? If it was to be next midweek, as unfair on Rangers because they've got a cup semi-final on the weekend?
Yeah, I think Rangers fans and everyone concerned at Rangers would be a bit disappointed with that, Gordon. But I think that they could handle it, the fixtures. It's, say they play it next, what, if the pitch is ready, Tuesday, Wednesday, Rangers don't play it Sunday. Plenty of time. How many times have we seen Rangers playing in the Europa League on Thursday night and coming out and being terrific on Sunday, putting on good performances? The only question mark about it was if you get an injury or a couple of injuries to one of your top players. I agree with Jimmy. I think that the fans are getting shortchanged because there's people there that make travel arrangements that cost a lot of money. There are buses, as Jimmy says. And so we've got to have a look at this. And I think he's spot on. I don't think we can do anything now, but I think we've now learned a lesson for going forward for next season.
I mean, I'm not saying it's ideal, Jim. So not at all. And I'm sure Philippe Clement would rather have a free week if he had the choice. But as Gordon says, it's not going to be like one of those crazy fixture congestion dramas where you're having to play maybe three times a week. You know, yeah, it would be a Rangers would, I take Philippe Clement's point, it's not ideal preparation wise this week. You maybe lose a day's training, but Rangers would have this full week to rest, play next midweek, play the weekend. I don't think that's terribly damaging if the game goes ahead, though. Because again, what if it doesn't?
Yeah, it's marginally a disadvantage, you know, because you play a game in midweek before the cup final. But again, when you're at a club at Rangers, that could happen for a number of reasons. It's just the circumstances this time that are more frustrating. But as Jimmy said, I think going forward, the league, because, you know, we mentioned, unforeseen circumstances, freakish weather, all these kind of things. But invariably, fans that travel, as Jimmy said there, I've booked way in advance. Some of them stay overnight, some of them obviously have got coaches, some have taken time off work, etc., if it's a midweek game. So there's a lot of planning goes into it. It's not just someone, you know, deciding to go at the last minute. That's very, very rare. So I think we have to put better plans. But as I said, we've been saying this for many, many years, that we don't look after fans enough, and they're almost the second thoughts. I would like to see the SPFL coming out and saying what their, you know, thoughts are on this, the contingency plans, if you want to see it, and also going forward, because in this day and age, football has moved on and should have moved on, and we should be at a situation now where, as I said, unless it's absolutely freakish, that there has to be plans in place in the close season so that everybody knows what would happen if similar circumstances arose in the future.
What do you think, Jimmy?
Well, I agree with the guys are saying there, but there's a story going about also because of the top six situation that they could ask possibly Rangers to play on Sunday against Dundee and put the Ross County game back to next week because they're obviously guaranteed they're going to be bottom six, but the top six has not been sorted yet. And that becomes a joke as well, you know. Supposing that scenario does happen. So buses have been booked for tomorrow night after being booked for last week. But there's booked buses for this Sunday for the Ross County game. What happens if they turn and say the Ross County game has been put back to next Wednesday so that we can accommodate the SPFL and buses and let them get the top six sorted? It's just become a joke. And Dundee have got to be punished in the way it should be next season. If they don't have their stadium up to the required standard, then they shouldn't be given entry. And that's it, plain and simple. And it's going to be sorted and sorted. Now, the fans are fed up. We're second class to a lot of the clubs. No, we're not treated. When we go to some of these stadiums, you'll not believe Gordon are treated. Rangers and Celtic fans probably were treated very, very badly. You know, it's about time somebody spoke up, smelled the coffee. Dundee should get their finger out and go do something. Well, the SPFL should be doing it for them and sort this mess out.
Yeah.
It's getting ridiculous.
I'm sure fans of other teams feel they don't get a particularly fair crack of the whip at times when they go certain places. So, yeah, there's a lot going on there. But thanks to Jimmy in Knightswood for his thoughts on 01419511025. I like this. There's a bit of mystery about this next caller because it just says Mr. Anonymous.
Mm.
How are you, Mr. Anonymous?
I'm very well, thank you. How's the panel?
Oh, I recognise that voice.
You all got me. I used to give you some golf balls and you promised me some nice red wine. But,
this is the worst Mr. Anonymous ever. You're about to reveal your identity here.
Well, Gordon knows who I'm at, but nobody else does, so it doesn't matter. That's amazing.
The guy supplies him with golf balls.
Why are you calling in anonymously? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, just speaking about pitches and stuff. You know, I'm a groundsman at a Premier League football club in Scotland. So if there's any questions you want cleared up, I can, especially in Dundee's pitch, I can sympathise, you know, with the groundsman, because it's not an easy job, especially up here in Scotland. Obviously, they're getting a bit of a bad rap up here with the state of the pitch. But, you know, without the investment, there's a lot of clubs invested in their pitches recently. You know, Rangers' pitch has been absolutely amazing recently. But it wasn't always like that. It was, I mean, if you remember back a couple of years ago, there was games in doubt. But they've obviously spent a good bit of money. Celtic, Hearts, Hibs, Motherwell, everybody spent a good £1 million plus upgrading their pitch to make sure games go on, especially in this weather, you know, the amount of rain we get. But obviously Dundee's is failing, and it's been failing for a couple of years.
And is that basically what's all can fix it? It's a bit of investment. Is that the gist of it? Once it gets to this stage, right? Yeah, covers can go down. You can try everything in within your power, but realistically, is it you know fighting a bit of a losing battle?
I mean, the damage is done. You know the water table's so high. You know you've seen the area. I mean, you look at the whole pitch isn't that bad. I mean, I know it looks terrible when you see it, but the whole pitch isn't really that bad. There's certain areas, but that damage was done trying to get the Rangers game on the last time.
Yeah, three areas, I think. Because I noticed I spoke to John Nelms today and he said something about a substrata below the surface. What's that, Mr. Anonymous? Educate me.
Well, I mean, I don't know exactly the way it's built and, you know, the drainage and stuff, but everything's got a lifespan. You know, it's like, I know what Ibrox was like, I know what Parkhead was like, I know what Motherwell was like, especially, you know, the work that they've done to try and get their pitch run. You're talking 1.2 million, a million, you know, to get the pitch up to, you know, you look at the pitches in the Premier League in England or even the Championship, you know, these pitches are amazing, but the budget that comes looking after them, that's...
But Dundee are not going to spend that amount of money when the plan is to move, you know, within a... Well, they keep saying that they're going to be moved within a couple of years' time, so...
And did you see the financial results this afternoon?
Yeah, they were... Was it 3 million or something?
2.8, I think, losses.
But have they even got a groundsman? Have they not got rid of their...
No,
they...
Well, drama.
I know they've...
No, the Brian was there for years, and his son was there. They were there for years. His dad was there as well back in the day. And then Brian, as far as I know, got either sacked or removed, and they brought somebody temporary in. But, you know, it's anybody who say there, you've got to spend, of course, a significant amount of money, and that money hasn't been done. I suppose somebody else might give it the argument, well, maybe that's how some clubs have had artificial pitches, because then there's less likely chance you with that other argument. But I think we all agree, you know, we want to see a better quality a pitch, yep. You know, and it was the only... I think it was the only game in the whole of the UK, Gordon.
Yeah, I think so.
See, before he goes, tell him I need some more goal balls.
Thank you, Mr. Anonymous Premiership Groundsman. John in Hillington, I don't know what your credentials are, but you're welcome to your opinion. What do you think?
Hi, Gordon.
Hello.
My point is, in any other walk of working life, if there was any risk of health and safety, then health and safety executive would get involved in something like this. Now, Stuart Kettlewell came out and says at the weekend that he feared that game going ahead for the safety of his players. It went ahead. The pitch has got to be in a worse condition now than it was then. So my point is, something has got to be done.
I think that's a difficult one, because that's such a, you know, subjective thing. Stuart Kettlewell did say that. Referee felt it was safe, and that's why the game went ahead. I don't know how you then measure it, because nobody was injured as a result. Does that mean it was safe, or does luck come into it? I'm always a bit wary that should be the cut-off point. Referee calls it off if he thinks it's unsafe, but he didn't at the weekend, and fine, and the weekend went ahead. So
I think when players and officials arrive at a game and you see the pitch and you see the amount of sand and you see the work it's getting done to it, right away, negative thoughts come in. We've all been there as players and managers. Now, I wasn't at Dens Park, so I might be totally wrong here, but I watched the highlights on the TV. I thought the pitch actually played okay. I've seen worse pitches where the ball's sticking and players are sliding and you're thinking there's got to be a collision, there's got to be an injury. I didn't witness that on Saturday, but I totally agree with Joe. I think after that game, if they've not been working on that pitch has actually got to be worse now. And with the weather forecast, I don't think we're holding out a lot of hope for this game going on tomorrow night. I hope I'm totally wrong. I hope it does, but we're not old enough. Much
yeah, listen, Stuart had his view on it, and he was quite forthright, and he felt that the safety of his players was at risk. So, I mean, he's totally entitled to that opinion and that belief. I think it's a difficult one to call. You know, you can get injured in pristine pitches, you can get injured in artificial pitches, you can get injured in bobbly pitches. The wind at the weekend, there was a lot of head knocks because the ball's swirling, people go to head it, and then the wind changed direction. So there's a number of things. We've had this debate before, Gordon, about should games be called off of the wind, you know, because it puts players at risk. So there's a number of things that you've got to look at. To me, I thought the pitch was playable. In modern day football, it certainly aesthetically didn't look good. But as Gordon said, the ball did move right, did move across the pitch well. It didn't go up too bad. If it's been dry up there and the wind, it's been windy, then it should have dried out a little bit. So I'm a little bit more optimistic. And we cannot guarantee, even with your knowledge of weather, Gordon, and with your update, we cannot guarantee that that'll be right. I mean, we could wake up tomorrow morning, the sun could be shining, and that game will go ahead, and all this whole argument will be put aside for another day. I'm more optimistic. I think the game will go ahead because I just think that, you know, the pitch definitely played pretty well at the weekend, really.
I think I'm saturated with discussion about the pitch. I've run out of weather-related puns and insight, not that I had any to begin with. Thank you very much to John. Maybe a good time we could move on, look back again on Sunday's game. All your talking points, get them in right now whilst I tell you about this.
Clyde One. Celebrating the first 50 years.
Right, for the last 50 years, Clyde One have brought you some of the best and most memorable live gigs. We're going to do it all over again on Friday the 31st of May. We're taking over the Ovo Hydro as part of our 50th celebrations, and we want you to be there. We've announced the full lineup: Amy McDonald, Tom Walker, Callum Beattie, Emily Sandy in Texas, and tickets are selling pretty quickly. So if you want involved, head over to ClydeOne.com.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Jim Duffy are here. It's 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. We can carry on Pitchgate. We can go back to the weekend. We can do something else. Scotland Women's National Team got a big game tonight as well. Gordon Dalziel's just trying to get me to change that channel to watch the Masters build up. But we'll keep him back for at least a couple of days. Let's go to Gary, who's in Govan. How are you, Gary?
I'm good, thanks. I never got my £1,000 bet because Rangers got a penalty. I told you, it was safe gambling, was safe there.
Ah, Gary, but, you phoned last week and said you were putting £1,000 on Rangers getting a penalty. And what did I tell you?
Safe betting. That was safe as houses.
No, after that, did I not say that they've both had 13 penalties in the league and maybe you should put a bet on them both getting one?
But the Celtic penalty was a real penalty.
I tried to steer you in the right direction, Gary.
Bookies wouldn't have said that.
Honestly. Don't listen to me.
I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't have gave the Celtic penalty myself, to be honest with you.
I don't decide.
I know, but I mean, Celtic in the first half were like Barcelona playing Rangers, who were like Renfrew juniors. And the captain should have claimed the first goal in his tally of goals because he's OG, basically. But let's be honest, most of these goals are penalties anyway.
I like Gary's sticking very much on brand from last week, which is fine. But Gary, you're now the only Celtic fan I've ever heard this week saying that Conor Goldson's shouldn't have been. What's happening here? That's a penalty all day.
The penalty all day with the new rules, but the new rules I just believe are just obscene. You know what I mean? It was 100% a penalty, but that's the new rules, 100%.
I said this last night, Gordon. I think under most handball rules, I don't think that's one of them.
Because he made a motion towards the ball.
Yeah, I don't think MD will disagree. I think we all looked at it at the weekend and we all came to the same conclusion. It was a penalty kick. The referee certainly called that 100% wrong. I think Gary's wanting to play the Old Firm games in the old rules, which I agree because it would be more exciting. But I've got to say, Goldson's, yeah, definitely a penalty kick.
Like I say, Gary, you're the first Celtic fan I've heard say it wasn't, but that's absolutely fine. I'm going to guess you've got issues with the other penalty then.
Not at all, but Fabio Silva was an embarrassment to football. I mean, he should get an Oscar award for his performance for Rangers. I heard them booing, Rangers fans booing, the loyal Rangers were booing their own team 3 or 4 times, which is quite extraordinary. You know what I mean? And then they celebrated at the end of the game like they'd won the European Cup, which obviously they never have.
Gary's got this chip list, yeah, where he's just like, get that one in, get that in, make sure we get that in.
Make sure we get the European Cup.
I think, actually, we don't find much common ground. I think where most people, including Rangers fans, would agree Fabio Silva needs to conduct himself differently. Whether that means it's not a penalty or not, that's a different debate. But overall...
It was a bit embarrassing and it was a bit laughable at times, you know, just how he's reacting to certain things. There's a few Rangers fans around about me were giving him a bit of stick as well. In terms of, you know, getting stick off your team, I think most teams, Gary, get a bit of stick if their team's losing to their rivals. You're certainly not going to get applauded at that time. And Celtic were, by miles, the best team in the first half. There's no question about that. You're right in that part. As far as the penalty issues are concerned, you used the phrase in modern day. Well, in modern day, sadly, both are penalties. That's the thing in modern day. Not that I agree with it, not that, you know, there's many Celtic fans would agree with it, but it's in the game where if you win the ball, but you follow through on an opponent, then that is likely to bring in a free kick. And if it's in the box, it's a penalty. So, yeah, as much as I would be frustrated if I won the ball, but if you then, you know, catch the player on the knee and the player's got an opportunity to perhaps win the ball, then the referee is likely to give a free kick. And if it's in the box, he's likely to give a penalty.
What do you think, Gary?
He gave the right decision the first time, yellow card him, but he should yellow card him earlier for his spectacular diving about. That was embarrassing.
Gordon, what was your take on it? As we've said before, it's nothing new. These things will, you know, rumble on for sure. Your take on that penalty decision now, a couple of days on?
I'll start with the first one Gary's talking about. I did think Silva was a bit overplaying it.
I
thought I was
it was ridiculously overplaying.
I was disappointed in player. I don't like players doing that. I don't care what team you play with. And I don't think there's the majority of the fans like that as well. They like to see, you know, players getting on with it and going playing to their best of their ability. And I think that's where the problem is with the penalty kick. I think that if that's any other player, I think the ones that doubt that was a penalty kick, I think a few of them would change their mind. But because it's Silva, the way he's acted most of the game...
A boy cried wolf, wasn't it?
Well, just forget what he did before, in isolation. Right. I'm just trying to find out if you think it was a penalty or not.
I thought there were three big calls, and I thought John Beaton got three of them correct.
Well,
I thought he got them all wrong.
Okay.
VAR brought him to attention.
But it doesn't matter, VAR brought him to attention. That's what we're paying the money for, VAR. And I think that VAR then, you've got to, me personally, I think you've got to say, they got it right because they told him to go and have a look. He looked at it and I think he came to the right decision.
Why is that a penalty for you?
Because I do, right, everybody's talking about Alistair Johnston and I watched it. When I watched it initially, I thought, no, it's not a penalty kick. I had to see it a couple of times. He gets a clip in the ball. The ball's still there for Silva to go and get, right, first and foremost. Johnston's foot is now high and it catches him above the knee, right? For me... If that's up the other end, Celtic fans are crying for a penalty kick, and I would say penalty kick to Celtic. So that's why I thought it was a penalty kick. I thought Johnston and everybody thought, well, he gets the ball, but yeah, okay, but the ball's still there for Silva to go and run onto. Johnston goes to ground. Now, sometimes you can follow through and a tackle, right? You can and you can be low, and I totally understand that because it's a contact sport, and momentum takes you there, and your body takes you there. Jim was one of the best defenders going about; he'll know. But where he catches him, his foot's high, it's round about the knee, just above the knee, and obviously it's a penalty kick for me.
I suppose the bit of the guidance they've clearly leaned into, because you get the rules of the game, laws of the game from IFAB, you also get the kind of guidance section or practical advice for match officials. There's an IFAB advice guidance bit that says it must be emphasised that playing the ball first does not necessarily mean the challenge is legal. That's clearly what John Beaton's thought. For everybody listening, you can disagree with that until your heart's content. That's fine. I think that's healthy that you can look at it whatever way you want, but that's obviously the bit that he's gone for. The kind of notion that any touch on the ball makes it not a penalty. It doesn't exist. It's the opposite of that. But then that you can understand why ex-pros, if you like, as well, think, well, you know, I touched the ball. But is that one of those phrases, though, that really should have gone out of the game?
But it's not,
I can show you numerous films where the ball
it's the same phrase as there's been contact, though, Gordon. I mean, we use that phrase. We hear it all the time, there's been contact made. So that doesn't mean
of course
but
not.
But we use that phrase. We also use, as you mentioned there, you got a touch on the ball. So that doesn't necessarily mean. We've seen so many times now, particularly in the middle of the pitch, where a player will go and win the ball and wipe out the player. That used to be the perfect tackle. The game has changed.
That's the reason why I'm saying
not that I agree with it personally, but within the rules of the game, that's the reason
and
why
it's
I
it's not
think
just happening up here. You look at down in England, Brighton and Arsenal.
I tend to hate when we compare incidents, but I'll reluctantly admit it was similar, wasn't
it? Similar, and the referee came to the penalty.
Gary, please just gamble responsibly. That would be the message, but let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, a bit of light relief, a bit of Beat the Pundit action. Gordon DL's record is questionable at best. It could be you that faces him if it's a tails tonight. So 01419511025, lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Gordon DL are here, and loads of you are trying to get in touch. Thanks so much for all the support as always. We'll try and fire through as many as we can. We did a pitchgate at the start of the show, looking at the news. There will be a pitch inspection, Dens Park, Dundee against Rangers tomorrow, 11 o'clock. So we'll keep an eye on that one as that story progresses. Inevitably, a game like Sunday, we're not getting over that in one night, so we'll keep your thoughts coming there if you can. It was definitely a naive suggestion at the start, that because last night we had done a lot of the controversy, maybe tonight we could talk about the actual play and the players that played well. I'm looking at the phone lines, I'm thinking it's looking
record TV figures.
It's TV looking figures. More likely that we all still want to go over refereeing decisions. But if you're a rogue out there and you want to talk about the football, I'd love to hear it. So pick up the phone. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Ian is in Blantyre. How are you, Ian?
Not bad, Gordon, yourself?
Yeah, not bad. Thank you, not bad. Have you ever played before?
Yes, but it was a bit 12 years ago or something.
Oh, in the very early days of Beat the Pundit, how did you get on?
12 years.
Who knows?
I get beat, but.
Well, listen,
for improvement.
It's only taken 12. He's been studying for 12 years. He's going to come on and get 10 out of 10 and annihilate this place. If it's heads, it will be Gordon DL, and if it's tails, it will be Jim Duffy. And it's heads, it's Jim Duffy against Ian in Blantyre. So what we'll do here is give Jim some greatest hits radio to listen to, and that way he can't hear us, Ian. It's the same old format from when you phoned, but it seems to be a successful one because you were one of loads of people that tried to get on tonight. So 30 seconds on the clock, are you ready?
Yes.
Good, your time starts now. Who was the last Celtic player to be sent off this season?
Pass.
Fabio Silva's on loan from which Premier League club?
Wolves.
How many Scottish clubs has Craig Levein managed?
Three.
Which former Rangers manager signed Ryan Jack?
Graeme Murray.
What nationality is Hearts' Kenneth Vargas?
Greece.
Who's got more Scotland caps, McTominay or Mulgrew?
McTominay.
Who's bottom of the Scottish Championship?
Abro.
Come on then, let's bring Jim Duffy back. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Good to go.
Prince going on there.
30 seconds, your time starts now. Who was the last Celtic player to be sent off this season?
Liam Scales.
Fabio Silva is on loan from which Premier League club?
Wolverhampton.
How many Scottish sides has Craig Levein managed?
Scottish sides? Oh, five.
Which former Rangers manager signed Ryan Jack?
Kachina.
What nationality is Hearts' Kenneth Vargas?
Swedish.
Who's got more Scotland caps, McTominay or Mulgrew?
Mulgrew.
And who is bottom of the Scottish Championship?
Arbroath.
Oh, good. Ooh, Jim.
Good game that. Ian, what do you think?
I think he's picked me.
No, I don't think I get many. I think
we'll see you in another 12 years. That's tight. Let's find out. The last Celtic player.
Confident.
Do you know what it is? You probably don't remember because there wasn't much said about the Yang sending off. It just happened and went under the radar and nobody really commented on it. So
it was never mentioned at all.
No,
was
it? It was Yang. So none of you got it. Fabio Silva's on loan from Wolves. Both got it. So one all. How many Scottish clubs has Craig Levine managed? This is when I knew you might be in trouble, Ian, because he nailed it. 5. Cowdenbeath, Hearts, Wraith, Dundee United and St Johnson.
Aye.
Is that a educated guess?
I knew it was a few. So
he never managed Brecon, did he?
No, he was the director of football.
So 2-1 Jim Duffy. Can I just, you know, my favourite hobby on Beat the Pundit is to throw whoever wrote the questions under the bus. Mm-hmm. I took pity on you both and I left out the next question, because how many penalties have been awarded in the Scottish Premiership this season? How hard is that?
Serious.
Like that's I don't know if they've accidentally copied the tiebreaker in. How is Endy supposed to know off the top of their head under time pressure?
How many was it?
54.
60. No, I said 60.
Write it down. Remember
64,
it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that wasn't even in the quiz. The Rangers manager who signed Ryan Jack, again, Ian, this is when I knew. Pedro Caixinha.
What a shout.
Not sure I'd have got that.
No,
you?
I'm feared to say that guy's name to be fair.
Exactly. You've tried to erase it from your memory. 3-1 Jim Duffy. Kenneth Vargas, both of you were miles off. Costa Rican.
All right. Did you not know that?
I behave. What would you have gone for?
Canadian.
Okay.
I mean, what are you laughing at? You're getting thumped 3-1. You're laughing at me.
What did you say, Ian?
Greece.
You're further away than him. Anyway,
we both got it wrong.
Who's got more Scotland caps, McTominay or Mulgrew? It is Scott McTominay, 49-44. So Ian pulls one back. However, you both got our broth, which means Jim Duffy stretches away into an unassailable lead. What was that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, I think. Was it a 4-2, 4-3? Anyway.
4-3.
It was 4-3. Not
4-3. 4-3.
If he's confident, I'll come on the next time he's on, I'll play him.
See, for somebody that's been on twice.
You and the mushroom, I'll play the two of you.
You've been on twice and lost twice. Do yourself a favour, ride your phone. Don't embarrass yourself again.
Well, you do me a favour and give me a chance to win it. Come on.
Okay. You phone up on Thursday.
Not a problem, Gordon.
Good man. Look forward to it.
Good man. Challenge. Ian in Blantyre.
Gauntlet's been thrown down.
Oh, he's easy. Listen.
If there's one man you want Greece. To take on, it is you, though. It's just the chaos.
See, to be fair, I would have probably got round about 4 tonight. I was no bad tonight. I've got to say, I would never get Yang.
No.
Do you know what I was just thinking? Because something that was lost in all the drama, you were in here with him last Tuesday, weren't you? Did you know he got locked in the toilet after the show?
No.
Did you find
out? Didn't he phone me? He phoned you. No, he didn't. I didn't know he got lost in the toilet. I got locked in the toilet.
I forgot Big John's
name. I said you've got previous. You got locked in Dumbarton one time as well.
I'm Balotelli. I've got that t-shirt.
Why me?
That's what he says to me.
Were you the Dumbarton manager when he got locked in the stadium and had to get let out? What is wrong with you?
I don't know.
People just lock me in places.
Well, I think you lock
it used to be pubs you used to be able to lock in. New is toilets.
New is toilets.
That's a sad indictment how your life's went.
Jim, I've had a bad week, honestly. Punctured my car tyre on Friday as well. It just went from bad to worse.
I meant to ask you about that, because when I arrived here on Saturday, I could see, you know, the unmistakable, whatever that is, they put on a new tyre. You can tell when it's just been fixed.
I didn't even get a deal in it either.
Did you
change
it?
No, the boy had me.
Did you change
it? No, I can't change it.
No,
I don't even know if I've got a tyre in the back. Right,
the wee baby one.
So, by pure luck,
let's be honest. You don't know how to change
it. No, I don't even.
You don't know how to change a light bulb.
I don't. I've never opened the front of the.
Certainly, there's no way to open the door.
You never what? Sorry,
I've never opened the front of the car. Right.
What do you mean?
The bonnet?
Aye, I've never done that.
You've never lifted the bonnet?
I don't even know where to go for
it. Of your own car?
No.
Like any car that you've had?
No.
You must be joking.
No.
Ever?
No, I don't know where the thing, you know.
You change oil or water?
Right, hold on.
No, I get people do that.
Oil,
you've got staff for that.
I can understand why a man like you, no offence, wouldn't bother with the oil. You've never put like windscreen washer fluid.
No,
in
Pete,
your...
my family would do that. Somebody would do that. No, I would say go and put.
What am I hearing here?
Go and put. But you're going to tell a story about me and Sarah, don't you? I had to go for my car, and I had 20 minutes before it shut. Now I can't run.
No,
right. So I was fast walking.
Right,
and you know, like in the Olympics bit, when they look like skipping, when they look like they've had an
like
accident.
Michael McIntyre,
skipping.
A wee fat boy going down their bus road.
Somebody did send me a message saying, "Why was Gordon DL speed walking down Airbus Road in Motherwell?" They genuinely did.
I was sweating by the time I got to the garage.
Anyway,
make it in time though.
What?
You made it.
Yeah. I'm skint now. I'll need to work double.
Anyway, like, let's move on. Billy's in Shettleston. How's it going, Billy?
Hey, Gordon, Jim.
Hi, Billy.
Thanks for the call.
Pleasure.
Right, I wanted to talk about the incident on Sunday with regards to Fabio Silva. And he even found that Celtic were considering him at one point, but his antics on the park are hard to take, so they are. But being what it is, everybody's in agreement that that was a penalty on Sunday, even though there was minimal contact, and I still believe that he bought that penalty myself. Now, what my point is I'm trying to make here, just a week before or so, when Celtic played Livingston, and Kyogo had a penalty, a claim I thought that happened in the first half and had no bearing on the outcome of the game.
Yep.
But I'm sure the defender bars down to the back of him and made contact with him on the back of his knee area, which took the balance away from him just at the moment that maybe he was positioning himself for a shot. And there was no incident involved there with VAR or anything. There was no penalty or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the two of them are different, but it could be used in the same similar circumstances. There was minimal contact on both of them, but one's a penalty and one isn't.
Yeah, and by the way, I think that's totally valid. Yeah. I remember the Monday night on the show where it was Roger and Andy Halliday, and they both said that's definitely a penalty. The difficulty is, you can't, if we're all going to say that that's a mistake, we can't then have every other incident being a mistake so that it stays the same
as
that one. Then you never really get anywhere. Everybody agrees that should have been a penalty. Yeah. And then I'm never really sure about the balancing itself out stuff. I'll leave that to other people. But then, you know, we had Celtic fans on a couple of weeks ago saying that the one that Celtic did get against Hearts shouldn't have been. So you kind of got to just take them as they...
Yeah, I mean, also there's been some shocking decisions this year. I mean, the Iwata one at Hearts was incredibly bad, and, you know, all these sort of things. But, you know, from Billy's point of view, yeah, I think we all thought that was a penalty. I think that, you know, against Livingston wasn't given it. Gordon read a little bit of the rules earlier on about the contact, but also the fact is that you can give the referee an interpretation of it. He can interpret it. So whether it was the VAR on that particular day, he's looked at that and didn't feel there was any need to call the referee's attention. That's the reason why nothing happened there, Billy, because the video assistant referee just felt that there wasn't enough in that for a clear and obvious error to bring the referee's attention. Yeah, you're right. I think we all thought that was a penalty. But, you know, every week there are decisions where we debate, and that's the reason why in this programme, you know, there's never really a quiet night because there's always controversy.
But they're never, ever going to get every decision right. I agree. I think that most of us agree that Kyogo, for me, when I seen it, I thought it was a penalty kick, and I couldn't understand why it wasn't given. I go back to Sunday. Billy was talking about Silva, the way he acted throughout the game. I don't like to see that. I don't care if it's Rangers, Celtic, whatever. I don't like to see that, professional footballers.
I'd love to have seen you roll around like that.
I never in my life...
No, but I'd have just liked to see you try.
I didn't have the strength to do that. And then you get dirty, you know, in your shorts and all that. But I did think that...
What about the one where he spits while he's down and then just goes back to sort of writhing around? A lot going on there.
I know. It takes too much energy for that for me. And I couldn't be bothered with that. I don't like to see it. I just think... We always say we don't like to talk about down south. You had a look at the Arsenal lad. I couldn't look at myself in the mirror again if that was me, right? It's disgraceful. But going back to our game, which was a terrific game, I do understand that some people will say, no, it's never a penalty kick, and probably mostly Celtic fans, and I can understand that because they talk about Johnson getting the ball. I think if it's any other player on the day, I think some Celtic fans would have changed their mind on it, right? Because it's Silva and the way he acted throughout the game. But for me, it's a penalty.
Well, to be fair, Billy actually is comfortable enough that it was a penalty. He's just bringing up the example from last week. Can I dare to go into territory, Billy, of what did you think of the game, the result, where it leaves things, the performance?
Well, to be perfectly honest, Gordon, if you, it's the whole scenario, is being a Celtic supporter, Celtic having put in a game where they've played 90 minutes at the same level, it's always a game of two halves, more or less the full season, and it was the same on Sunday, whereas it was clearly Celtic's first half and then Rangers in the second half. But I think the difference between the two games there on Sunday was down to Jack Butland making all the difference, because that game would have been out of sight if it wasn't Jack being between the sticks there and pulling off some very good saves.
See that, I meant to ask Jim, because Jim was there, eyewitness, we're watching in the studio, Jim's sitting in the stadium, and I said in commentary about the fact that how Celtic were brilliant first half, dominated. I do agree with Billy. I think that Celtic probably looked and thought we could have put this game to bed. Then Rangers come out in the second half. Celtic are all over the place for at times. Rangers are fine. Was the wind a big factor in that, Jim, in your opinion? Because you obviously, you're in the stadium. You can see that. You can sense, you can feel it.
I think there was elements of it, because the first goal, one of the first seconds, I think Tavernier thought it was going to shoot straight out, and the wind was swirling and it kind of held the ball up, and obviously Maeda then closes him down and gets a ricochet, and that was part of it. But generally speaking, no, I think that Celtic dealt with the wind much, much better, because they kept it shorter passes, and they were playing little triangle passes, little diamonds and then triangles over the pitch. And they had more wrist ranges, were trying diagonal passes or harder passes, and the ball was going out the pitch. So it was more about the style of play. Celtic style of play was better. And the second half, Rangers tactically changed it because they pressed Celtic. And I mentioned at half-time, and old Gordon had said at the programme at the weekend, Celtic could put Hatate up alongside Kyogo and went man for man at the back, pretty much. And said, right, we'll deal with that. Whereas Rangers wanted an extra player there. And Celtic could play out for the back, and at half time they changed it. So it was, for me, the win wasn't as important as a tactical change.
Where does it leave the title race then, Billy?
Well, it's 50-50 now, isn't it? I mean, I think it all comes down to the last Old Firm game at Parkhead. So it does now. I think it's down to bottle now. So I do, who can actually take this on board and cope with the demands that's coming in, because there's very little between the two of them at this moment.
Yeah, and we don't even know if Rangers have got a game tomorrow, in case you hadn't heard, pitch inspection at Den. So we'll thank Billy and we'll squeeze one more in, I think, before the break. And James, take it away, James.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. As usual, a great show.
Thank you.
A couple of points for you, or for the panel. Dens Park, they've had four or five games cancelled this season already. Now, the SPFL are supposed to be the face of Scottish football, yet they have said nothing or done nothing to bring this to the attention of Dundee. I think that there should be some form of punishment, and I don't think anything about points deduction or anything, but why not give a fine? Because the park has been unplayable on several occasions, and it's also been close games. Or give Dundee and the opportunity on, say, in 3 or 4 months or during the close season to get their park in a playable condition, or there will be a heavy fine for them.
Yeah, Fraser Wishart made a point at the weekend, which is a real frustration, because there's still an executive of the SPFL, there still should be leadership there, but the SPFL is the clubs. And if the clubs, including Rangers and including Dundee and including everybody else, if they want to get together and put clearer or more distinct rules in place, then they need to do it. That's the whole point. The much maligned Neil Doncaster, and I'm sure he deserves some of the criticism, he can't just dream that up and come up with it. Anyway, that's not to say that some of the issues James mentions aren't relevant. I think way back 2010, I think Motherwell were fined 50,000 because of the state of the pitch. That would be before the, that would be the SPL era, though, before the SPFL. So yeah, we'll need to just wait and see what the next.
I think there will be changes. I think there has to be. I think the you know, the main clubs now have to put proposals in and have to put you know, their ideas for club licensing and what it should entail. I mean, many years ago we had the seating, and then, you know, the all the other facilities that have to go along with that. To make sure you get you know, your club licensing for a Premier League stadium, and Dundee's obviously failing just moment in time in the pitch. So yeah, you're right, Gordon. The clubs have to get together and put in something that they feel is relevant to the current situation.
A bit pushed for time, James, but I know you had a point to make on the game, so if you could do it quickly, if you don't mind.
Yes, certainly. It's about Sunday's game. Carter Vickers created a foul. Then he kicks the ball away to stop Rangers taking a quick free kick. So why did the referee not feel that he should have booked him? Because any other game or any other week, that was the booking of
offence. Kind of disagree with that, Jim.
Yeah, I remember seeing it at the time and thinking that it was forcing it. I think it was early on in the game. Mm-hmm. He didn't boot the ball miles away. He wasn't wasting time. He was just trying to get, you know, it was just one of those ones where he stood there. Because I think, did somebody else not get booked later on in the game for a summer?
Maybe.
So I think,
I mean,
you know,
it's the old one, Gordon. I've seen it a million times. The rule is the rule. So people are well entitled to say it doesn't matter if it's the first minute or the 90th. But whether we like it or not, referees do take the occasion in. I saw Dermot Gallagher in Sky, he was asked about it, where he said, yeah, I mean, obviously it's the rule, but he said, you don't want a technical yellow card to have to be dished out early, basically. So, look, there's no right or wrong in the way that, you know, referees might want to try and manage it. It does look wrong in the eyes of the laws of the game. Obviously, as Jim says, if he runs and boots it away, he probably gets booked. He's done the little sneaky one that goes a few feet and he gets away with it.
I've not got a problem with it. I know that people will be shouting, well, it's the rules, and the rules have got to be, you know, seen to be carried through. I totally understand that. But this was a massive game for us, and as Jim says, it was early on. It wasn't a big kick up the park. I thought the referee, who was probably under more pressure than any of the players in the pitch at the beginning of the game, he just wanted the game to settle in. An early yellow card would, you know, all of a sudden he's under pressure, Carter Vickers. I thought it was sensible referee.
I'm always so torn on these because the rules are the rules, but also you think, is that what we've become? Do we want to complain about no booking for that? I don't know, it's tough. Anyway, we'll need to leave it there. We're so late. Thank you, James. We'll be back after these.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Jim Duffy are here. 0141 951 1025. I've got a teaser very quickly. I'll even save the dramatic music for now. We'll play it in a second. Since the Euros are coming up, who are the last 10 players to score for the men's national team who've never played in Scotland? Okay, McDonough. Last 10 players. I said no answers just now.
Oh, sorry.
10 players to score for the Scotland team who've never played in Scotland. Speaking of, let's go to Hampden because Scotland women's national team are in action in 5 minutes. Andrew McLean.
Yes, up against Slovakia, and a big game this for a couple of reasons. Firstly, it's a Euro 2025 qualifier in a group that Scotland should be expecting to top, really. So they'll be looking to get their first win of the campaign tonight after kicking it off with a draw away to Serbia on Friday night. Big as well because manager Pedro Martinez Losa is starting to come under a bit of pressure. You could tell that from some of his pre-match comments yesterday. They haven't won any of their last 8 competitive games, stretching back to that World Cup playoff defeat to Ireland here in 2022. Martinez Losa defending his record, saying he gets paid the same amount of money to take charge of friendlies as well, but he doesn't, you know, he really does need a competitive win under his belt. I'm not sure too many people put the same emphasis on friendlies as they do competitive matches, but we'll see what happens in this game tonight. Scotland certainly keen to get those 3 points. Looking at the Scotland team, a big milestone for captain Rachel Corsi. She'll be earning her 150th cap tonight. She's also going to be operating in midfield instead of her usual central defensive role. So in goal, it's Lee Gibson, the back four, Kirsty Smith, Sophie Howard, Jenna Clark and Nicola Docherty. Rachel Corsi, Sam Kerr and Erin Cuthbert in midfield. Lisa Evans, Jane Ross and Fiona Brown, the front three for Scotland tonight. The Scottish National Anthem just about to get underway as well.
Yeah, we'll let that play out for Andrew. We'll get back to him and just grab another quick word before kick-off perhaps, but just your early thoughts on this teaser. We are chasing our tails this evening, very busy. Since the Euros are coming up, can you name the last 10 players to score for the Scotland men's national team who've never played a professional game in Scotland? You said
McTominay.
Correct.
Shea Adams.
Yep.
There you go.
McBurney.
No. Don't know if he's scored for Scotland.
Ryan Fraser.
Scored in a shootout, but that doesn't count. He played for Aberdeen.
What about Hanley?
Yep.
Cooper. Okay.
No, don't think he's scored yet.
Are we going back to Aaron Fletcher?
Not quite. I mean, yeah, in theory, time wise, but he's not one of the answers.
10. Okay.
Yeah. In terms of era, some of these guys would have been in the same team as Darren Fletcher, but he's not an answer.
Graham Alexander, but he played for Motherwell, didn't he?
The big one, he's got one. Long hair that played with Nottingham Forest.
George Boyd? No, that's a strange shout from you.
I don't know where I got it from, but it was a good shout, wasn't it?
Well, if you say so.
It was a good shout, but it was wrong.
Yeah, but it was a good wrong one.
Yeah. Where have we got McTominay, Shea Adams, Hanley. And Hanley, Grant Hanley.
Yep.
That's all we've got.
Mm-hmm. Nothing else at all? Nothing coming to mind?
Hold on.
By the way, let me thank Connor in Livingston for sending that question in. If you like the sound of it, if you think you've got that bit of trivia up there and you could catch the pundits out, send an email over. It's fulltime@clyde1.com, fulltime@clyde1.com, and we'll do our best to use it on the show, just like we did for Connor in Livingston tonight. And as always, thank you to Universal Interiors in East Kilbride for helping us out with the teaser as well. Are there any others that spring to mind?
Boy, I know I can see him.
Palmer.
Luis Palmer. Luis Palmer, is that what you just said? Liam Palmer. Right back, no. Game about to kick off at Hampden, Andrew. I just wonder how big this is. And you try not to always compare the women's game to the men's game, but I do wonder if the women's game was under the same level of scrutiny, would Pedro Martinez Losa still be in a job? I wonder if it's playing a part here, because the record is not great and the contract extension was given out. He does seem to be very defensive in some of his press conferences at the moment.
Yeah, I do think he was particularly defensive yesterday. You look at some of the words that were in the newspapers this morning. He feels that some people are looking at his record with a bit of an agenda, was the word that he used. And he's highlighting, you know, some of the results that they've had in friendly matches. Many of those friendly matches, games that Scotland would expect to win. Yes, they've had some tough games in the competitive matches. They were in the Nations League, League A. It was last time out. England, Belgium, the Netherlands, some tough games in there. But, you know, that big 6-0 defeat to England wasn't great at all. Look at the friendlies after that. You know, a win against the Philippines and then up against Finland after that. But that draw against Serbia as well on Friday, I don't think has really done him any favours, because this group that Scotland are in, with Serbia, with Slovakia, with Israel, Scotland are the highest ranked FIFA team out of any of the four of those. Scotland are expected to finish top of this group, so the results certainly haven't been in Pedro Martinez Losa's favour. And you talk about that the scrutiny, he's certainly not under as much scrutiny as, you know, the men's national team boss would be. That's just the landscape of football at the moment. But you could tell yesterday that he was feeling that pressure, and I think that pressure will continue to mount, not only if Scotland don't get the win today, but if they don't put on a performance today as well, because they are certainly overdue one of those. So we will see what the group looks like and what this performance looks like as well from Scotland. He's changed a few things up going into this, four changes, Rachel Corsi moving into midfield. But yeah, I think there might be a bit more pressure building as the weeks go on if Pedro Martinez Losa can't get the result he's looking for tonight.
Scotland-Slovakia tonight on the back of the 0-0 draw in Serbia on Friday. So keep an eye on the @ClydeSSB social media channels. Andrew will keep you up to speed there. And anything you need to know tomorrow night's show as well. Let's bring in Brian, who's in Peterhead. How's it going, Brian?
Fine, thank you very much.
What have you got for us?
Well, it's about the penalty at the weekend. The Stonewall penalty, as so many callers have called it, pundits, every ex-Rangers player ever invented, including Gordon DL there, and even Hugh Keevans, these new blue-tinted specs. It was Stonewall, okay, but it was a Stonewall dive. Mm-hmm.
There does seem to be a lot of referees who think it was a penalty, wasn't it, Brian? And again, I don't think that means you have to agree, but I wonder if it's a little bit unfair to just say, it's all the... Everybody, you know, all ex-Rangers players think it's a penalty. There are a lot of current and ex-referees seem to think it was a penalty.
I seem to think it's the word for it.
Well, do think it's a penalty then?
Never a penalty. God, no, it's a dive. any fair-minded fan could see that. Fair dive.
Well, Brian, I respect your decision as obviously as a Celtic fan, but let me tell you, I didn't make my decision because I started my career at Rangers. I said earlier that...
Somebody's not heard the way the Rangers fans talk about your spell at the club anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I said that the Celtic penalty kick was a stonewaller. I said Kyogo's Livingston was a stonewaller. So I'm not buying into this. I'm saying it because I've sort of started my career at Rangers. I've made an honest opinion. Whether you agree with it or disagree with it, that's fine. There'll be a lot of people disagree with it. I've not got a problem with that. But for me, it's a penalty kick.
I always think the way we package these things is difficult. Either way, you know, and Brian's ticked a lot of those boxes by starting off and saying, you know, blue-tinted, and then any fair-minded fan would think that was a dive. Well, as I said, Nick Walsh thought it was a penalty. John Beaton, when he sees it back, thinks it's a penalty. Dermot Gallagher and Sky and Bobby Madden think it was a penalty. I always have to say this. I'm not saying you need to agree. I'm not saying that makes it a penalty. But can we not just scale back that stuff of, you know, it's an absolute disgrace, or you're not fair-minded if you think otherwise.
Brian, did you think there was any contact on Silver?
I'm not quite sure, to be honest. There might have been, there might not have been. But as a...
Well, you can't say that and then say that it's not a penalty, because you've either got to be 100% sure that there was no contact or there was contact.
Well, I'm 100% sure he dived. That tells me everything I need to know as a football fan.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I was at the game, obviously at the time, you know, John Beaton books Silver for a dive. But when I saw it back on the replay, then I'm thinking it's a penalty, because the fact is that he touches the ball is immaterial, as Gordon has read out the rules earlier on. He then follows it through to catch the player in the knee. If the player's got an opportunity to get onto the ball, even after it's been touched by the opponent, then that's still a penalty. So within the rules, I think it's a penalty.
So you think it's a penalty, yeah. Right? Can I ask you a question? Where did you start your career?
Well, I started my career at Celtic.
There you go. So it's not just ex-Rangers players.
That's got to you, that comment, hasn't it?
Certainly has, because you deep. I've never been like that.
Let me ask Brian, what about the bigger picture, Brian? Like, is it a good result, a bad result? What do you think?
Well, it was a good game, put that way. It was a smashing game. I would have preferred a better result, obviously, but we're still there. We're still in it, and so are they. So it'll be interesting, very.
Are you confident that because the next meeting is at Celtic Park that you have a...
I don't think you can ever be confident in the Old Firm games. No, not really. Hopeful, yes. Not confident.
Well, we will see in due course. Thank you very much to Brian. I've shifted it on. I'm actually going to see the silver lining in this cloud, because now tomorrow night I can say again, look, we've still not spoken about the football, so maybe we could. It just gives us an extra night of
all depends of if the Rangers game goes again tomorrow.
I know.
Check the weather forecast before you think that.
That is true, but yep. Maybe we could finish the show on a high. We could talk about a player that was good or a player that was bad. I think that'd be a nice novel way to end the show. How are you faring on this teaser? The last 10 players to score for Scotland men's team, but they've never played in Scotland. McTominay, Shea Adams, Grant Hanley.
I don't think he played for the first team, did he? Billy Gilmore?
Correct, and scored against France.
Yeah. Oh, wee tricky one there.
What was tricky about that?
Because obviously started his career at Rangers.
Yeah, but never played.
No, that's something. I wouldn't 100% sure maybe played a friendly or something. Yeah, or a proper match or something. Early on, but
okay.
But that's the only one.
Elliot. I just
Matt Elliot. Yeah. We're not going back that far.
I'm struggling with this.
Do you know what you two need? Thinking time, and we'll take more of your calls next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're into the final part. Another very busy, very quick show. Apologies if you're still trying to get through. We will try again. We'll keep doing more in this part of the show, and we go again tomorrow. Let me give you this question again.
Full time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Can you name the last 10 players to play for Scotland to score for Scotland men's team? Sorry, but they've never played a game in Scotland club wise. McTominay, Gilmore, Shea Adams, Grant Hanley. Any during the break?
Chris Martin.
The guy for Coldplay.
Yeah.
The other one.
Chris Martin, yes. The striker.
Scored against Slovenia. Was that not when he was booed on? Remember that?
Yeah.
And then he scored.
Come on, Jim.
Not Russell Martin, but we come up with one, but I think Gordon deserves the credit for this because he jogged my memory. But it's Anya.
Ketchy Anya. I think the last goal was Czech Republic, but I think he scored against Germany, I think. And
Gordon's got a winger, but he can't get his name.
Newcastle. I'm doing my
yes,
head in.
That is the right guy.
Left sided, mm-hmm. Yeah. I can see him. Hold on, I'll ask him his name.
Right. So what does he look like? How would you describe him? What colour of hair?
Gangly. He's got sort of lighty hair, isn't he?
Yes, I would agree with that, yeah.
I cannot believe I can't remember his name. Ah, jeez.
He's from a famous family. His uncle Lionel was a great entertainer as well.
Richie. Matt Richie, isn't it?
Matt Richie.
Oh, I got that. I've seen him in concert. What dear. About... Did Jordan
Rhodes
score?
Yes, Jordan Rhodes. Now we're ticking along. Only two to get. We'll get them before the end. Sean's in Greenock. How are you, Sean?
Hi, I'm fine. Thanks very much.
Thanks for taking the time to call tonight, Sean. What have you got for us?
Well, I thought I would throw in a wee curveball for the boys to
love
ask
it.
Them a question. And it was just because I want to see Scottish teams signing Scottish players.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, from Dundee's perspective, we look McCown's clearly going to win Player of the Year. So I think Scotland should be thinking about him, and so should Celtic and Rangers, since he scored a corner last weekend.
Why not? Go on there. I like that when people
I wonder what the panel would say to that.
Jim?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's been terrific for Dundee. There's no doubt about it. I think last year he was finding his feet a little bit, for mm-hmm. Dundee. But this year, yeah, he's been very, very important to him. He scored, I think he scored six or seven goals.
He's got nine goals now.
Six
since the turn of the year.
Yeah, and he's got a few assists, and he's got a lovely left foot in him. The only thing I would say to you, Sean, is I'm not 100% sure if it's his time at this moment in time. I couldn't see him getting in the team. And that's the thing.
He's also a bit older than I thought.
Well,
26.
He's 26, I think. Yeah,
I just thought younger.
To me, I don't think that's a big issue.
No, I know it's not. I'm not saying it's old, by the way. It's just a personal thing.
But I just wouldn't see him playing on a regular basis. And I think for a boy like him, he's came from Air United. He's really only had one real full season at the top level. I think he needs another season of similar quality and maybe even a wee bit better. The one that I think everyone would be talking about for the clubs would be Lennon Miller at Motherwell. I think that it's 17 years of age.
I wish you would tone
that
down.
Yeah, I know,
wee bit,
but he is the one I think that there'll be a host of clubs looking at, including Celtic and Rangers, because you've got plenty of time to develop him. You could actually leave him at Motherwell for another year and allow him to develop, but sign him up. So there are some talented young players going around. And Luke McCowan is one of them, Sean, but I personally don't think he's quite ready yet for moving to the Old Firm. I think he would maybe get lost in amongst the size of squads that they have.
Start the bidding at 10 million for Lennon Miller. Gordon, Luke McCowan is having a brilliant season. Let's give him a bit of praise first and then assess whether you think that translates into a move to one of the big two.
Yeah, I think Jim summed it up brilliantly. He is having a great season for Dundee, of that there's no doubt. His corner kick, Liam Kelly, I hope he's not listening, but I'm giving him a bit of stick there for that. But 26 years of age, I'm sure, look, we've got a lot of good talent. Jim's right, you could name a few. I'm sure that teams like Rangers and Celtic will be doing their jobs. They will be keeping an eye. They will be noticing what's going on. As far as you're concerned with Scotland, I don't think that's a possibility at this moment in time.
Sean, they're not quite convinced. Do you want to put your case forward anymore, or you just agree to disagree?
I'm putting my case forward because you might have your own opinion about how he looks progressing, but I said to the guy that called that we signed Nicholas Kuhn and we've got Yang. And I'm thinking, Luke is left fitted and he's Scottish, so he could fit right in if Kuhn or Yang aren't well. We look, if they're sick or injured, we look, McCown could step right in.
Yep, listen, again, these conversations end up making you a touch uncomfortable because it's not about criticising McCown or taking anything away.
It's just about the level.
It's just about whether that level is.
Yeah. He's only played. This is his only season at the top level. He's never played at the top level before. This is his first season, and therefore, to me, he's got to learn a lot. The other side of the game, yeah, he has got talent. He's got a lovely left foot. He can create, but there are other parts of his game that he's got to the consistency levels without the ball, the pressing of the game. There's a number of things that I think he can improve upon. And then maybe move to the next level. You know, that next level might be, you know, a higher level than D in Scotland, or it might be down south. I mean, there's guys like Ryan Christie, for instance, who went down south, done very, very well. A lot of people didn't rate him when he was at Inverness, and he was at Aberdeen on loan, came to Celtic, did well. Now a very important player for Stevie Clark. So, yeah, there is time still for him, but I think he needs another season at the very top level to prove that he can go and play for a team like Celtic.
Agree. All in agreement, you two?
Yeah, I agree. I think he's a great talent, but I agree with Jim. I think Jim summed that up perfectly for me.
Thank you very much to Sean on the line. If you want to squeeze one more in, you maybe could. We're kind of running out of time, but we could give it a bash on 01419511025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB. So this busy week is showing no signs of dying down. I'll say it again. Maybe by tomorrow we'll get round to talking about the actual play in the game between Rangers and Celtic. I'm asking a lot of you. I usually ask you to predict football games. You're not great at that. Gut feeling, whatever you call it, think Dundee Rangers will be on.
Jim's more hopeful than myself. Look, I really do, because I think it would lead us into a very exciting weekend. I think it'd be fair in all teams, because as much as there's a great title race going on, you've got the top six there. You've got Dundee, you've got Hibs, and you've got an outside chance, Motherwell. You want that excitement. That's what our game's all about. So fingers crossed. But it's all down to the weather. It's all down to pitch.
Yeah, just looking at the TV there, seeing our game getting cancelled. So I think it was Barrow and Bradford or something for a Waterlog pitch. So it can happen. And Dundee's pitch is a bit of a mess. But I'm optimistic. I think that they'll do everything in their power. They know that it's a big game. There is a lot of spotlight on them. They had a lot of criticism. And I think, like anybody, when you've had a bit of criticism, you want to react positively like that. So I think as a club, Dundee will do everything in their power. And they want to try and make sure when they go to Aberdeen at the weekend that they can give it absolutely everything to try and get that top six position. I think they've only done it one other time in 20 years, I think. You know, so it's not a common situation for Dundee. So I think they'll do everything they can. So I'll be very surprised if the game doesn't go ahead.
There we are. We'll find out. 11 o'clock, get on that at Clyde SSB social media handle. You'll see the outcome of that pitch inspection. Whether that answers it for the day or you need to revisit, I'm not sure, but keep an eye out anyway. I think that pretty much leaves us just enough time to round off this teaser. Can you name the last 10 players to score for Scotland men's team who've never played a professional game in Scotland? So like Scott McTominay as an example, Billy Gilmore, Shea Adams, Grant Hanley, Chris Martin, Matt Ritchie, Ikechi Anya, and Jordan Rhodes.
Many of us still again?
Two.
In you go.
There's I'm terrible. I can see faces, but I'm terrible with names.
Just describe the face. I like it when you do that.
It's like charades.
It's like a supermarket. Middle of Park.
Huh? A
supermarket? No Snodgrass, either one.
All right. I guess.
Morrison.
James Morrison. He's a coach.
James Asda. Is that who you're
referring
to?
Is it right?
Yeah. Morrison, yeah.
He's another musician in the team. Which one?
I'm struggling now.
All out, would we say?
Give us a clue.
The club that he is mostly associated with is West Brom.
That's Morrison, isn't it?
Well, him as well.
So I was going to say Snodgrass, but he played for Livingston and played for... West Brom.
Yes. I think the last goal, maybe his only goal, a 1-0 away win in Hungary.
Oh.
Was that brief second Alex McLeish era somewhere around then?
Alex McLeish era.
Just making noises and hoping that something.
It starts with an M, doesn't it?
His first name starts with an M. Yes.
His second name.
Come on.
P or something.
The second name's like a type of screwdriver, which would be, this is the guy who can't open his bonnet in his car.
I don't own screwdrivers, mate. I don't own a screwdriver, I don't know. You'd need to help me with this one. Screwdriver.
I don't
Phillips.
I know you're saying that, but I would never have got it. Matt Phillips.
No. Okay.
Come on,
a decent player, Matt Phillips.
I think he's still a decent player. I think. Anyway, thank you to Gordon DL and Jim Duffy. Another busy, busy day in Scottish football, and tomorrow promises to be just as busy in a different way. Will Dundee Rangers go ahead? We'll find out soon, hopefully sooner rather than later. But whatever happens, thank you for your company tonight. We will do it tomorrow night again at 6 o'clock, and Lynn is up next.